Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
'19 was the year of the Spanish flu, so that was almost 100 years ago. And 500 million people were infected with it, and about 50 million people died from it. So it was absolutely catastrophic, almost 100 years ago. And during that time, that year where there was so much crisis and catastrophe happening, there was a woman called Helen Lamell, and she wrote the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I love those words. I love that hymn. But it wasn't really an original song from her, although the song was, but the words came from her friend that had given Helen a gospel tract, and that tract was called Focused. And in that tract, or that gospel pamphlet, it said, "So then, turn your eyes upon Him, look full into His face, and you will find that the things of earth will require a strange new dimness." So in the midst of the last worldwide pandemic, people were understanding that they needed to take their focus off the storm and put their focus onto Jesus. And as they did that, everything would come into alignment, that the things that needed to be blurry in their life would be blurry, and the things that would be in focus would stay in focus, which was Jesus. So I love that Him, and I love those words. That's what I want to talk about this morning, about staying in focus, being in focus. What is your focus right now? Focus in the dictionary is defined as to adjust one's eye or a lens so as to make a clear image. Another definition is the point where the subject is clear and in focus. So just a few facts about focus. Firstly, we can only focus on one thing at a time. We do this just without thinking about it. Our eyes are so well created, but really we can see a lot with our eyes right now. We've got a whole lot of stuff in the peripheral, but we can really focus on just one thing at a time. Where our focus and our attention is, the center of our view, that's what we can focus on. We can really just do one thing at a time. Also, people say, what about multitasking, Simon? It's an interesting fact about multitasking. Research suggests that when we are multitasking successfully, we are actually just switching our attention between the two tasks super quickly, merely creating the illusion that the attention is simultaneous. So we really can only focus on one thing at a time. Second fact, we can choose what we focus on. We have the choice. We have the power to what we focus on in life. And I love to think that our life is like one big Bob Ross painting. I love Bob Ross. He's like a white guy with a massive hair back in the 80s, and his tutorials on how to paint are absolutely famous. And what he used to do was he would always paint the background first, and the background would be sort of out of focus and a bit smudged, and you wouldn't quite know what the background was. But then as he got closer to the focus of his painting in the foreground, it was always clear and sharp. We needed the background. The background made a lot of the picture, but it wasn't what was being focused on. The foreground was what was being focused on. And I think our lives are like one big Bob Ross painting. We've got a lot of stuff happening in our lives right now. COVID-19 is a big part of our life. The pressures and the stress, they are a part of our life. They are a part of our painting. But are those things in the background of our lives, or are they in the foreground of our life? We can choose what we focus on in the painting of our life. And unfortunately, I think at times like this, we make what should be in the background of our life, we make them the center of attention in our lives, and we start stressing out. When really these things, yeah, they're important, they're a part of our life right now. Are they in the background, or are they in the foreground of our lives? The third point, what we focus on gets the greatest proportion of our thoughts. So what are you focusing on right now in your life with all this crazy stuff going on? Are you focusing on things that should be in the background of your life, and are you bringing them to the center of your life, or are they where they should be, which is the background of your life? In Numbers 13:33, there was the Israelites. They were just about to enter into the promised land, the land of promise, the land of blessing that God was giving them. And Moses sent in 12 spies 10 of those spies got their focus completely wrong. There were giants in the land, there were challenges in the land, but the land was what God was giving them. They should have been focusing on the promises, the excitement, the possibilities, but 10 of the spies chose to focus on the negative. They chose to focus on the challenges, and everything turned to custard. This is what they said. "We saw the giants, the Nephilim there. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So these 10 spies, they took what should have been in the background and they made it the focus of their life, and everything went out of kilter, whereas they should have been focusing on the promises and the blessing of God. Those things were still there. Those things were still a challenge, but they chose to focus on them and everything turned to pieces. Just want to read from Matthew 14, 22 to 32. "As soon as the meal was finished, Jesus insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea. When the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on water. They were scared out of their wits. 'A ghost,' they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them." I love that line. "'Courage, it's me, don't be afraid.' Peter, suddenly bold, said, 'Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Go ahead.' Jumping out of the boat, Jesus walked on the water to Jesus." This is what I want to focus on. "But when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink. He cried, 'Master, save me.' Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Then he said, 'Faint heart, what got into you?' The two of them climbed into the boat. The wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshiped Jesus, saying, 'This is it. You are God's son for sure.'" I love that story. And just a few points as we continue to focus on focus. Number one, where you focus will determine if you stay afloat or if you sink. What you choose to focus on will determine whether you stay afloat in the storm or whether you sink. We can choose where we look. We can choose whether we keep looking up at Jesus or whether we look down at the circumstance, at the challenge, at the conflict, at the trial, at the storm, because we follow where we look. So if you're looking at Jesus, you're going to be above these things. If you take your eyes off Jesus and you look down, we're going to sink under the weight of our challenges. Where you focus will determine if you stay afloat or if you sink. You can choose where you focus. Secondly, Jesus is never far away. In verse 31, it said, Jesus didn't hesitate. When Peter started to sink, when he called out for help, it said, Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand. I don't know if you're very, very close to Jesus or if you're far away from Jesus now, or you maybe have never met Jesus. He is never far away. And wherever you are right now, whatever you're involved in, if you're in a storm, if you're in a challenge, if you're facing a crazy trial, Jesus is right there. If you call out to him, he won't hesitate to save you. You may feel like you're in a deep, deep pit right now of addiction or whatever it is. Jesus' hand is never, or arm is never too short to reach down and rescue you. He is right there. Just call out to him. He won't hesitate. I love that. Thirdly, the principle is clear, especially when life is a storm, look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. Although a storm surrounded him, Peter looked to Jesus. The only problem was that he stopped looking at Jesus. And I think this is a challenge for all of us. We start really great, but as the challenge continues, as the storm keeps raging, it's really tempting to not keep our eyes on Jesus, but to start to instead look at the storm. We've got to keep our focus on Jesus. Look to him and keep looking to him. This thought is paralleled in Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, or let us focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. That fix in the original language is, I don't even know if this is how it's pronounced, but this is the way it looks like on paper, apherao, and it means to turn the eyes away from other things and focus them on something else. So fix your eyes on Jesus means that we deliberately need to turn our eyes away from all the distractions, and we need to deliberately look to Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus. It is an active verb. It's not something that we do passively. We've got to be deliberate about this. Fourthly, understand you have the power to choose what you dwell on, what you focus on. Psychologists call this negativity bias, and it's proven with the way our brains work that it is natural for us to always look to the negative unless we retrain our brains. So if you get 10 positive comments and one negative comment, human tendency, we will always naturally focus on the negative comment. And when there's bad news, for example, coronavirus, global pandemic, all the in our news feeds, it's human tendency to always focus on the negative. I believe that's part of our fallen nature. It's in our DNA as human beings because of the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden. But the good news is when we give our lives to Jesus, we become new creations and we don't have to be slaves to our old sinful nature anymore and the way we used to think. So we don't have to naturally gravitate towards negativity. We can choose, we can retrain our brains to think to the positive, which I think is amazing. We can choose what we are going to dwell on during this time. There is a lot of stuff to still be positive about and to still be joyful about. Let's not be like those people who just naturally tend to go to the negative. Lastly, don't just hear, but do. Don't just hear, but do. Jesus told a parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder, and they both built great houses. The foolish builder built his on a shaky foundation, on sand, and the wise builder built his on a firm foundation. The same storm hit, and obviously the foolish builder, because he built it on sand, the house collapsed, but the wise builder, his house stood firm. And Jesus said the only difference between the wise man and the foolish man was that the foolish man listened to Jesus' teaching and didn't do anything about it, but the wise builder listened to Jesus' teaching and he put it into practice. I think as Christians, we are so used to listening to great sermons and podcasts and teaching and reading amazing books. We love all that stuff, but are we actually putting it into practice? If we just hear it and don't, then we are foolish people. Let's be wise men. But that actually takes some effort and a deliberate, conscious effort to do these things. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, it's a choice. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. And it's got a promise that if we choose not to be anxious, then the peace of God will guard our hearts. It's an amazing promise, but we've got to do something about it. It's not something that we can just hear and not practice. What does the Bible say to do? Instead of being anxious, we have to choose to pray about it, to ask Jesus about it, to let him know what we need, and to be thankful. And if we do those things, then the promise is ours. It's a great demonstration of how to be a doer of God's word. We're not going to get that promise. We're not going to get that peace if we just listen or read only and not put it into practice. So, practical tips. What does focusing on Jesus mean to you, or what does it look like for you? I love Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It says, here's what I want you to do, says Jesus. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. I talked to a lot of leading experts, scholars, about this. What does it actually mean? The scholars are my Facebook friends, by the way. I love doing that. You just ask people online stuff and they write most of your sermon for you. No, just kidding. But it's I really appreciate the friends of mine that wrote some stuff, and I'm going to share some of those. There was a lot of comments, so I just haven't got the time to share them all, but I just want to share with you some of them. Stephen Richards says, turning away from other things that may distract or discourage us and looking to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. It's so easy to say, but to actually do requires real attention or intentional seeking of him in every problem. Something we need to practice daily, otherwise the lights of distraction, sin, and other gods will draw that fix of our eyes away. Jeremy Tattersall says, focusing on Jesus both in prayer and scripture, being honest about how I'm feeling, seeking guidance from Jesus about how I am now to serve him and help others amidst everything happening right now. Evangeline Hort says, stopping my thoughts to recognize and thank God for who he is and acknowledging he is above all else. That way, everything else fades into the background. Leslie Boucher says, stopping in the midst of the busyness and just having a yak with God, letting him know that I still know he is in control. Hannah Squire says, being still, intentionally stopping in the moment to switch my thoughts onto God and who he is. Dalwyn Burke says, listening for his voice first, blocking out the noise and fear and choosing to listen to God. Nina Buchanan says, for me, I take a moment or many moments to stop what I'm doing and connect with him. Through worship, reading the Bible, or declaring the word, praying out loud and speaking in tongues, these things center me again and cause me to be aware of him, his presence, and his voice in my life above what is happening around me. Just a couple more. Melody Smith says, putting some worship music on, stop doing what I was doing, close my eyes and worship along with the music, then being still and listening with my spirit. So basically, putting him in his rightful place in my mind, then listening with my spirit. And lastly, Wayne Garden says, doing what Jesus did. When faced with the devil, he always came back to the word, it is written. Personally, I find the other two greatest keys for me are worship and thankfulness. Worship refocuses me where I become small and he becomes great. I love those. A lot of different ways people practically fix their eyes on Jesus. I don't really care how you do it. Some of us, it's different from other people. Some love spending a lot of time in the Word. Some people love spending a lot of time in worship. Let's just do it. Let's refocus our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We've just got to do it. So in conclusion, just want to read Romans 12:2 again. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then the second part of that verse says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. My last point is this, Jesus focuses on you. And it said, for the joy set before him as he was going to the cross. What was that joy? I really believe a part of that was looking forward to being reunited with his Father in heaven. But I think also the joy was that Jesus spanned through all the centuries of time and he looked at us, which was his prize, the church. The opportunity that you and I had of being reconciled to Jesus, having a relationship with him, being made new creations, starting eternity with him now on earth and forevermore in heaven. He was looking through the span of time past the cross and looking at the prize, which was you and me. He was focusing on us. How's that for a crazy thought? That the God of the universe focuses on you. He loves you that much.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.